we've been praying and singing and letting know at least a good message this morning. I just pray that we'll continue to have many more great days.
Amen.
But there's one thing we do know. There's a great, great day coming. As Brother Minister Miller mentioned this morning, when all these greats, everybody in them, rise up. Those that's been saved will meet the Lord. Those that have not will go down to a dark world. We need to pray for those that are lost. They are us, as we know in the Bible, teaches us, ones that are living will join those that rise out of the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Meet the Lord in the air. There we forever be with us. Whatever I'll be in. Thank you all for the many prayers you pray for me. I've been ill and whatever, but I love this church. I love the pastor. And God is love.
Amen.
I love my brother. I love my sister. Because God is love. I have God in my heart.
God bless you, Brother Dawson. Sister Treva enjoyed the good testimonies. The song that Brother Ronnie led just a few minutes ago, the next time he comes, in one of the verses, it says, I remember when I met him, how the Spirit took control. And I remember that. Bless you, Sister Lori. Bless you, Sister Flo. I remember when I met him, how the Spirit took control. And I'll tell you exactly what I believe about it. And it's no problem to see that this is exactly what the Scriptures teach about it. Those are true conversions. Those, when the Spirit takes control, there are a lot of different types of false conversions. And for those that are dependent upon anything other than that time when the Holy Spirit took control, you're depending upon something that's not real. There's only one verse of Scripture, although there are many, there's only one verse of Scripture really necessary to prove that. In Romans 8, verse 16, Paul said, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." If that didn't happen, then you really didn't get saved. And you need to have... You know, one of these days, we're all going to stand before the Lord and answer for ourselves. And in that day, it's not going to do anybody any good to say, "Well, but so-and-so had me come up and repeat a prayer. Or so-and-so told me that I was saved." Listen, if God hasn't told you, you better keep seeking. Amen. Until the Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you have become a child of God. I've enjoyed the good singing and all the good testimonies, and I want to share some scripture with you today, and I ask an interest in your prayers. I want to read from Romans chapter 1. Beginning with the first verse. And I certainly don't want to cut anyone off. I want to encourage everyone today to follow the Lord. If you've got something the Lord would have you to do in this service, then you feel free to do that. Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's reading Paul's salutation to the Romans when he wrote this epistle to them. In the fourth and fifth verse, he, speaking about Jesus, said that he was declared to be the Son of God with power. And I want you to keep that in mind today as we look into the Word of God and bring forth the thoughts that He has burdened my heart with. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness and by the resurrection from the dead. Paul said that it is by Him. In verse 5, when he said by whom, he was talking about by Jesus, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. The Apostle Paul here was acknowledging in this writing that what he had, what they had received, that he knew that it came from the Lord Jesus. It is by Him that we have received grace and apostleship. You know, that's another thing. I still, in this modern age that we live in, I still believe that with all my heart. That those who preach the gospel ought to have been called to do that. It's not something that anybody should just choose. It's Paul said it was by the Lord that we received grace and apostleship. God is able to do with us what He will. And God calls some men into the ministry. Others He doesn't. We ought to just let the Lord have His way in that. And not try to be anything that God hasn't made us to be. So Paul said that we have received grace and apostleship by the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us that are here today that have been saved by God's grace, and I want to speak today about this power that was spoken about here in the fourth verse. In fact, I want to use for a title today, All Power. All Power. We find those words recorded in the 28th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, in the account there given of the Great Commission, after the Lord had been crucified and resurrected, He came to His disciples, and He said unto them, "All power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." All power, He said, is given unto Me. I believe that when Jesus spoke that before them, that He was stating the obvious. Now, you may have a different view of it, but I'll tell you what I believe happened there. When Jesus came and spoke to them and told them, "All power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth," I don't believe that He was telling them about something that He had just gained. I think He was stating the obvious by the fact that He was standing in front of them and had completed what God had sent Him to do, that He had died and made the atonement, that He had risen from the dead. And I believe that what He was telling them is it ought to be obvious that all power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. The power that He was speaking about, I'm convinced that He had it prior to that. We can read about the life of the Lord Jesus and the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and we can see in that He had great power while He lived here and walked here on the earth. He had great power before He ever went to the cross. He had power over the elements. Jesus was able to speak to a raging wind and just say, "Peace, be still," and it would give it up and become calm. He had power. He had power and had proven it. He had the power to speak to someone that was laying in a tomb and tell them to come forth, and that dead person would obey His voice and come forth. He already had this power. But I'm convinced that as He talked to them at that point, that surely if they had had any problem with it before, acknowledging that, surely they could have seen it by that time, that He was standing before them having risen from the dead. All power. I'll tell you, when Jesus conquered death, He conquered the last enemy. The Bible says concerning death that one day the last enemy will be destroyed. I'm telling you today that Jesus Christ has already conquered the last enemy. The only thing that we are waiting for is that time when he will destroy it. And it will be destroyed. I'm going to tell you something. We're talking about power today that's not like any other power. I mean the Lord, the power that the Lord has, this all power that Jesus was talking about is the most powerful thing that has ever been known. There is nothing at all that will compare to the power of God. And you know, to lay down in a grave, to be laid in a grave, and to be able to rise up from the dead, I mean, you've got to have power to do that, don't you? The resurrection of Jesus Christ took place and was brought about by great power. And that's proven to us in the scriptures. There were so many people that tried to, there were many that did not obviously believe that the resurrection was going to happen. There were those that tried to, after they came and found that the tomb was empty, they tried to make up stories about it and say, well, you know, his disciples obviously came and stole him away. I'll tell you what happened. Jesus was laying dead in that tomb, and by his power, he got up from the dead. He just got up. I mean, on scheduled time, he got up. And we think about, you know, here the last couple of weeks. Last week we observed the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Last week we observed an ordinance that shows his death. Today we are here gathered on this day when we typically in this service we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord and acknowledge in this that he has risen. But I said this morning in the sunrise service that I pray that this is not the only day of the week that we think about the resurrected Christ. We need to think about that every day. We have hope today because Jesus lives. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, everything that we have hope in today would just be in vain. My preaching today before you would be vain. Your faith would be in vain. We would be yet in our sins if Christ had not risen from the dead, if he had not possessed this power, this unusual, extraordinary power that enabled him to even be able to get up from the dead. If that wouldn't have happened, friends, we'd be on our way to hell right now, without any hope at all. Even his death took that power. Do you ever stop and think about that? Jesus was a sinless being. There was no sin in him. The Bible says he that knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And you know, there are two things in the scriptures that you can never separate, and that is sin and death. I'm telling you, friends, we die because of sin. Sin is what's going to bring about death. It is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We are going to die. Our mortal body one day will die because of sin. That's going to be the wages of sin is death. That's going to be the result. Jesus didn't know any sin. There was no sin corrupting his flesh. There was nothing, there was no blemish in him in any way, but yet he died, didn't he? But I'll tell you how that happened. And the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John teaches us that Jesus went to the cross and died because he had the power to do it. If you look in the 10th chapter of John, that's exactly what he said. He said, "No man taketh it from me." I don't know what those Roman soldiers may have thought. Perhaps they did think that they had been successful in killing this man that was saying, that he had a kingdom that was not of this world and that the subjects of his kingdom were not of this world. This man that they felt was a threat to their earthly king. Perhaps they did think there that day when they nailed him to the cross that they had taken his life, that they had conquered him, that they had done away with him. But I'll tell you, friends, they deceived themselves if that's what they thought, because they didn't do that. Jesus said, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." Pilate thought he had power over him, didn't he? Pontius Pilate thought that he exercised power over Jesus. He told him that. He said, "Don't you know that I have the power to release you and that I also have the power to crucify you?" But the Lord set him straight, didn't he? I mean, he put him in his place. He told Pilate, he said, "You couldn't have any power over me unless it were given you from above." Friends, there was nobody, Pilate, the Roman soldiers, nobody else had the power to take the life of Jesus. He wasn't murdered. He gave his life. He gave it. "No man taketh it from me, I give it myself." He said, "I have the power to lay it down." He had the power to give it up. He had the power, even though he was the Son of God, even though he was without sin, he had the power to go to the cross and die and give up the ghost and make the atonement for our sin. And he said, "I have the power to take it up again." And that's what he did. He went to the cross by his power, by that great power that he had. He went to the cross and he gave himself a sacrifice for our sins. He died there by his own power. They took his body down and laid it in a borrowed tomb. And on the third day, by his power, he got up and conquered death, hell, and the grave. And I'll tell you what, when he got up, the Bible teaches me he had the keys. He had the keys to them. He had the keys to unlock death, hell, and the grave. The Lord told his church that she would receive power. I've heard people say, when they were put out with their church, they weren't going to church. I talked to a man one time years back, sat down and talked to him. He had stopped going to church. He had fallen out of church, wasn't going to church. And I was sitting there talking to him. He said, "There's no power in the churches anyway." I'll tell you what, you're never going to convince me of that. We may not be obedient enough at times to see the manifestation of the power of God the way that we ought to, but Jesus promised his church that she would have power. And I'll tell you what, friends, as long as we uphold his teachings and as long as we walk with the Lord, we're going to have power with him. There is power in the churches. Don't ever think that it's not here. I'm convinced that the Lord is only able, or the Lord only gives us the power that we're able to handle. God's power doesn't have any limits. Don't ever limit God. Don't ever think that God could reach the extent of his power, because God's power has no limit. If God unleashed the fullness of his power here today, I assure you, every one of us, we wouldn't be able, in these mortal bodies, we wouldn't be able to handle it. God gives us what he knows we can take. You know, it was just like there, we studied this morning in Sunday school about the temple. It was just like when Solomon finished the temple. You know, God sometimes manifests his glory among us as well, and we see a little bit of the glory of God. But I promise you today, if God just unleashed his glory here today, you and I wouldn't be able to sit here. We just have to leave. We couldn't handle it in these bodies. We couldn't take it. God manifests his glory when the temple was built, and Solomon prayed that beautiful prayer of dedication. God manifests enough of his glory there in the temple that day that the priests could not even go in. They couldn't even go in and minister because there was such an awesome presence of God's glory. But I'm so glad that he can allow us from time to time to feel a little bit of his power. I'll tell you what, there's been in my life, there has been more than good people in my life. I'm thankful for the good, God-fearing Christian people that I was raised around. I really am. There has been more than good people in my life. There has been more than God's word in my life. I can remember back, well, as far back as I can remember. I think many of you here today know exactly what I'm talking about. As far back as I can remember being among God's people, I knew it, Brother Lowe, when I was just a little boy, there was a power there that was way beyond human. There was a presence there that I felt when I was just a young lad that I knew was real, and I knew it was God. I'll tell you what, friends, we need God's power. We need the power of God when we come together to worship God. We need to pray that God would make known his presence and his power among us. Friends, I'm telling you today, you can look for a preacher that's able to speak eloquent words, and he might sit down. I watched this foolish man on TV there a couple weeks ago showing a behind-the-scenes look at how he does his television ministry there. And he would go and tape those sermons, and then before they were allowed to air, he would go through and edit them and make sure that all of his little glitches and everything had been taken out and then air them that way. But listen, friends, it doesn't make any difference how eloquent that somebody may sound when they preach. If God's power doesn't accompany that, it's not going to do anything but deceive people. That's all it's going to do. Paul was a real stickler about God's power being accompanied with his preaching. I knew when I began my ministry that I would never help anybody unless God manifest his power in the things that I tried to do. I saw Brother Mike Weed. I hope he don't mind me saying this. I saw him last week. He was preaching that funeral service. He was nervous. I mean, he was nervous. He said it was the first funeral service he had ever done like that by himself. Came to church that morning, said, "I'm so nervous, would you pray for me?" And I went over there and attended that, and it was beautiful. And it was like, when I sat there listening to that, it was like I could just see God's power taking over. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Paul, when he wrote to the church at Corinth, He said, when I came to you, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Friends, listen, when the man of God gets up before you to bring the message, pray that God's power would fall upon him. If he's going to preach effectively, I promise you that's what it'll take. If you're here today and you're troubled about the condition of your soul, if there's something bothering you over your lost condition, I promise you this today. I promise you it's not me. I promise you I'm not the one that's bothering you. There's a power there dealing with you that's far above what any human could ever produce. God's power is real and present. I'm sure that you've heard it said there when Jesus came and told his church that all power had been given unto him in heaven and in earth. I'm sure you've heard it stated that he was saying that all authority had been given to him, and that's true. But I don't believe that was all there was to it. I don't believe that authority was all that was to that power. I believe great ability is in it as well. And he is able by his power, because of the great power he possesses, he is able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God by him. Does Jesus have great authority? Yes, he does. He has a voice of great authority, but he is also able to do all things. He is able to save the soul of everyone that will come to him and seek him, because he ever lives to make intercession for them. Paul said it was by God's power, by the power of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, that we have received grace and apostleship. I'm going to tell you something, and friends, I hope you understand this. I'm not making fun of anybody in any way. But I actually had a man one time. I talked with him, asked him about his soul, and he told me that there had been a preacher that had saved him. What a great deception. There's not a preacher on the face of the earth that can save you. That power belongs to God. The Lord laid his life down on the cross of Calvary by his power. He got up from the grave by his power. One of these days, if you and I go that way before his return, our bodies will be laid aside in death. They'll occupy a shallow grave somewhere, or perhaps some other means of being put away. Either way, they'll be gone. We're not going to have the power to get up, are we? I mean, when they place my body in the ground, I will not have the power to raise it up. But I'll tell you what I am going to do. I am going to die in hope of the Lord one day making known the power of his voice and speaking to me and bringing me forth from the dead. I'm going to die with that hope. I am. If I die today, I'm going to have that hope that living here, while this body's still alive and I still have ears, and I'm still a moving, functioning being like I am now, I'll die in hope that it won't only be in this life that I'm going to hear the voice of the Lord. Jesus said, the hour is coming. John chapter 5, verse 28. The hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Anticipate it, my brothers and sisters. Anticipate it. Expect it. It's going to happen. Just know that it's going to happen. If they take your body and lay it in the ground today, just die with the anticipation, knowing that your body is going to be laying there in the dust one day, and you're going to hear Jesus call you, and he's going to call you to come forth. You can die today with that assurance. Tomorrow, you can die tomorrow. Whenever you leave this world, you can leave this world with that assurance that all that are in the graves are going to hear his voice. Lost friend, you can die with it too. All that are in the graves are going to hear his voice, and they're going to come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Listen, I want to warn you today, if you're lost, you too are going to hear his voice, but it won't be pleasant. It won't be pleasant. The Lord Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and in earth. It wouldn't be any problem at all today to just take two more hours and preach about it. He has all power. All power.